The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
All right. Well, they already pretty much talked about what I was going to talk about, but let's start real quick with prayer. Mighty God, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, God, that you would bless these words that we're going to hear today. Father, we pray that these are words that you are going to speak. Father, that these are words that you'll use my mouth for. But these are going to be the words that you have to say today, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Youth, you're not allowed to answer, so youth is in here today. Okay. Who in your family is the favorite kid? Nobody raise your hand. Okay. At my house, my brother will tell you that I'm the favorite kid. Okay. Okay. Now, if you're the youngest, okay. Okay, youngest, raise your hands. Okay, y'all are the favorite in your house. How do I know that? Because I'm the oldest and my little brother is the favorite. I can tell you that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, but what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let me read you a couple definitions. Let me start by this. The title of today's message is, You're a Favorite. You're a Favorite. So if you didn't raise your hand by the end of this message, I hope you're raising your hand. Okay, favorite, one that is treated with regard and special favor or liking, especially a person who is specially loved, trusted, or provided with favors by someone in high rank or authority. Parents have high rank and authority, right? So we like to be mom and dad's favorite. We try to do that, right? All right, let's define favor as well. Favor, friendly regard shown towards another, especially by a superior. All good things, right? So when you have favor with your boss, you get nice things, right? You get to go home early, maybe 5-10 minutes early. Maybe you get a longer lunch break, or, you know, you have some of those items, right? That's kind of favor. All right, my media team, thank you for them. They're awesome. Are one of these things your favorite? Maybe it is, I believe it's puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? You don't love puppies? Well, maybe you love the next one. Go ahead. Kittens. Okay, who can't love a kitten? Yes, they grow up. Yes, they have all that, but who can't love kittens? Okay, if you can't love puppies or kittens, we'll pray for you after, but maybe ice cream. Who doesn't? Is that a favorite? Chocolate is my favorite. All right. If you can't love that, who doesn't love babies? I see two boys in the back. They're going, we don't love babies, but they will. They'll change. They'll change. Babies. Favorite things that we have, right? Grandparents. Right? If you're a grandparent, your favorite thing on the planet is a grandbaby. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm going to try to do this. So I am not as talented as Hannah or my wife. But y'all remember that song? Okay, I'm going to age some of you, and some of you younger people aren't going to get this, but that's okay. So you remember that? You remember that Julie Andrews song? Brown paper packages all tied up with string. Warm kittens and fuzzy feelings and all that. These are some of my favorite things, right? Told you, I'm not talented. And I didn't write out the whole song. But we have favorite things. We have favorite things. Well, why do I say that? Do you think that God has favorite things? The answer is yes. And, all right, everybody raise both your hands like this. Crowd participation. Okay, now reach over and pinch yourself like this. Okay, did you feel that? Okay, that means you're one of God's favorite things. That means that you're God's favorite thing. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 18. And this is out of the Passion. So God was delighted to give us birth by truth of his infallible word. Okay, the infallible word is the Bible. It is perfect, okay? So that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us to become the favorite ones out of all of his creation. Now I'm going to insert the definition right here too. So let's say, and become the one that is treated with regard, with special favor and liking, especially a person who is specially loved. Okay. Y'all have heard me say this many, many times. You're God's favorite. And people say, well, that's pretty boasterous of you. You feel a little bit of pride when you say that? I say, absolutely not. I do not feel pride when I say God, I'm his favorite. I feel zero pride in that. And let me tell you why. And then the other statement comes, well, what about me? Good news, you're God's favorite. Okay, now we asked about the kids, right? Kids say who's the favorite and all that. Parents, of your children, if you have two or more children, do you have favorites? Absolutely not. Their love is equal, right? A parent's love for our children is equal. So God has the same love for every single one of us, 7 billion people on the planet today, all the people before us and all the people that will be after us, God has the same love for every single one of us. Amen. Every single one of us. How do I know that? Because James tells me that I get to become his favorite. That is such a cool thing. All right, let's go back to Genesis. Let me give you some other examples. So God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image. Let us make God in our image. Was that a choice that God made? Yes. God could have made us any way he wanted us. He could have made us aliens. I've watched some alien movies. We could look a lot different. He did not have to create us like that. God made the dogs, the puppies, and the kittens. But he said, let us make man in our image. You're God's favorite. While they were singing one of those songs, I actually wrote this down. So we were designed to be God's kids. Okay, so that one of that song, the Who You Say I Am, it says, I'm a child of God. So when you're a child of God, he doesn't have favorites anymore. Or excuse me, he doesn't have favorites, but you are a favorite. Now let me say this in that statement. I got ahead of my notes in my mind here. So God doesn't have favorites in the same way that parents don't have favorites. So I can tell Haley and Morgan, I need you both to do this, and one of them can do this. They might not necessarily be happy about it, but I love them equally. My wife and I do not have a favorite kid. So God is no respecter of persons. However, you are his favorite. So you get the blessings of being a favorite kid. Let's think through some of the Old Testament stories. Was Jonah one of God's favorite people? We all go, well, I don't know. God put him in the belly of a whale, right? Jonah was one of God's favorite. God put Jonah in a whale to save him from the ocean because Jonah's like, y'all got to toss me over. God's like, oh, nope, that's my favorite kid. Now he's going to have to learn a lesson and he's going to smell fishy, but he's my favorite kid. Where did Jonah find himself? On dry land and alive. Maybe a little bit smelly. Nonetheless, he was alive. Elijah. Probably one of God's favorites, right? He was a pretty amazing guy in the Bible. But what did Elijah do? So let's talk about the story where he kills 800 prophets of Baal. He runs in front of a chariot and he tells King Ahab, hey, good news, it's going to start raining. He sounds like Jim. It's going to start raining. Don't you worry. All of a sudden, now Elijah finds himself in a hole. Not only does he find himself in a hole, he's wanting to die. He's like, you know what, God, she's going to kill me. That Jezebel woman, she is going to kill me. And God sends some earthquakes and some fires, but it comes to Elijah's still small voice. And he says, I'm here. Oh, and by the way, there's a raven out in the front of the cave for you to have some food. God's favorite. What about Joseph? Joseph goes out to see his brothers. He's got this cool coat on. Where's my jacket? He got a nice jacket on, coat of many colors. He's feeling pretty good. I'm God's favorite. He kind of had that little bit of a sway to him. You know, I got the limp with that knee, so I kind of can do my sway. But his brothers was like, you're not our favorite. You might be dad's favorite, but you are not our favorite. Let's kill this boy. His brothers, let's kill this boy. And then his oldest brother, the wisest of the oldest, he says, we can't kill him because what are we going to tell dad? We will be in trouble if we kill him because he's dad's favorite. So, what do? They put him in a hole. Well, then they're like, wait a minute, he's still going to die. Traitors, we can make a profit. So they sell Joseph. And Joseph goes to jail, has some bad stuff happen to him, but he's God's favorite. He becomes second in command of all of Egypt. Right? What about Paul? Paul's been shipwrecked. He's been thrown in jail. He's got this pain that won't go away. Paul has some bad things going on. Right? He started out killing Christians. And then God's like, nope, you're my favorite. In fact, you're my favorite. Let's go get your eyes healed. But while you're in jail, you're going to save the jailer. God's favorite. So, sometimes we find ourselves in unfavorable situations. Anybody ever found yourself in an unfavorable situation? Many times, right? Sometimes it's on the way to church. Did anybody have an unfavorable situation on their ride to church? I say that because we do sometimes. Sometimes you're late or whatever it is, and it's an unfavorable, but you're still God's favorite. Regardless of the situation, you are God's favorite. Let me talk a little bit about that. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to read out of the New King James. You can read this in a lot of different translations here, okay? But this is my favorite one. It says, and we know all things work together for good. For those who have bad situations, no. For those who love God, and those are called according to his purpose. So going back to Genesis, God said, you're my kids. And then we fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus says, I'm going to die for you, but I'm going to raise again, so you get to be my brother. So Jesus says, good news, God wants you to be with him today, so I'm going to go to the cross, and now I'm going to raise again, and then, because you're my favorite, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, when that situation happens, when there's a situation that's unfavorable, he's right there. He's right there. He's right there. What did Kay say? Banging my head on the wall? That was funny. My head's bruised, and God's like, hey, I'm right here. The Holy Spirit is right. Because we're God's favorite, we have the Holy Spirit. He is right next to you throughout all time. Well, now some of you might go like this. Well, that's all fine and good, but I really don't think I'm God's favorite. I really don't think that I have the favor of God. How do I know? What are the signs that I have the favor of God? Well, what are the signs of some of the things that we have on earth? Let's talk about my wife, my beautiful wife. She's my favorite. I hope most of the time I'm her favorite. Right? What does my wife get from me? Well, she has my love, right? She has all of my protection. Kind of like I have Ryan over here. So if you want to run at the stage, I don't know. I saw him limp, so run slow. But my wife has all of my protection. My wife can ask me for something, and she gets it. Right? My wife lives in my house all the time. Now, when we think about our kids, how do my kids know that they're my favorite? Now, they might argue this point, but they're completely taken care of. Even when they're in a poor situation, and maybe a situation that they put themselves in. But my kids still know they're my favorite because their electric bill is paid. They have plenty of food to eat. They have shoes on their feet. They're my favorite. They are my favorite. And they don't have to necessarily ask me for their needs, but when they ask me for their wants, we're coming up to Christmas. And now my kids kind of smell funny. They're spoiled, okay? So just so you know. But that's a good thing. My kids are good kids. I will tell you that. They're very, very, very good kids. But they start asking me for their wants. They go, Dad, hey, you know, we really want this. And Haley Jo's big thing this year is she wants an iPad. I'm like, I don't think you need an iPad. But probably she's not in here, so probably be looking at one of those here pretty quick. Why? Because she's our favorite. She has the blessings of her parents. We have the blessings of God. Let's think a little bit about this. So what are some promises that God has for us? Healing, protection, prosperity. We have peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and the other three. Pastor Monty's not here. Sorry, Pastor, I didn't get all nine. And what does that mean? So let me tell you a couple stories of a wallet. So I'm going to tell you my father-in-law's story first. So my father-in-law loses his wallet. He prays, Lord, I need my wallet. Now my father-in-law's wallet, it's older, but it's like this thick. I watch that. I'm like, how do you put that thing in your pocket? I mean, he's got stuff in there. He's got like, okay, so my father-in-law is one generation before us, so he still carries everybody's business card in his wallet, right? We take pictures of him now, and we put the business card away, but nonetheless, his wallet's this thick. Well, he loses it baling hay. Has anybody ever baled hay? It's a little hard to find things in the middle of a bale unless you cut them all open, and you find weird stuff in hay all the time. Well, here he is. He's coming in, and so he's moisture testing his hay. So he's got his probe, and he says, "I'm asking the Lord, where's my wallet?" And he's kind of going through all the things that you have to do when you lose your wallet. You got to cancel this. I got to call the debit card folks. I got to do all the different things. Well, he's walking down the trailer, and he's sticking his probe in these bales of hay. Well, there's his wallet stuck right in one of them. He goes, "Oh, bink." And again, I don't know how he puts it in his pocket. Cargo pants, I guess. I don't know. There's his wallet. All right, I got an even harder one for you. So if that's not God, my wallet. So I carry one of these Western wallets. This is my wallet. Well, when I rope, I always put my wallet in the pickup. Why? Because in the saddle, it'll pop out. I don't want to lose it in the arena. So that's what I did. I thought. So I go out to gather the steers, get on my horse, and away I go. Gather the steers, rope, have a great afternoon, come back to my pickup. I'm like, I need to put diesel in my truck. Where's my wallet? Tear my truck apart. Can't find my wallet. Can't find my wallet. Can't find my wallet. Well, Camille and I had just started dating at that point, and I said, guys, my checkbook was in there. My debit card was in there, my cash was in there, my ID. I can't even go to the bank now, even though they know me, and get any money out of the bank. I have to get all this stuff. It's going to take time. Well, my Aunt Mary, she goes, let's pray. And I went, yes, let's pray. Pray that something miraculous happens. I was still new to faith at this point, so this was one of my first times that faith really worked. So we pray. We hold hands and we pray. Well, the next day I go to work. It's like 5:30, 6:30 o'clock in the morning. We leave, and I come back that afternoon. Same scenario. We're going to go gather the steers. We're going to rope. Well, there my wallet was on my truck, seat of my truck. And I was like, I couldn't have missed it. Like, that's obvious. It's in the seat, my driver's seat, and it wasn't there yesterday. Well, there was my boss's parents came by, and there, they went, oh, hey, we found your wallet in the pasture. It was right on the road. I said, what? They go, yeah, you must have been riding, and you're gathering the steers, this 1,000-acre pasture, and your wallet fell out right on the road. My wallet was where they were driving. God said, look down. It's brown, y'all, in the dirt. They look down. They pick it up. They put it in my pickup. God cares. You're his favorite. My wife locked herself out of the car, quasi-locked herself out of the car. She had the key, but the key fob wasn't with it. The key fob had fallen off. And we'd been looking for the key fob for a couple days. And she's like, we better pray. I'm like, yeah, we need to pray, because she was at, last Sunday, she was in town, and she's like, I can't get the car to start. I can't get the door to open. The lock wasn't working. She had the key, but it was not working. I'm like, okay, let's pray. We got to find this key fob so we can unlock the door. Well, she's like, I looked on the whole car. I can't find it. I cannot find a fob anywhere. I've looked in my purse. Maybe the kids dropped it while they were feeding. I said, so let's start walking and doing all this stuff. I said, I'm going to go look in the car just to be sure. Well, I grab a flashlight and I open the car door. There's the key fob right on the part of the seat right underneath there. Guys, I'm God's favorite. But so are you. But so are you. All right. Let's go to Psalms. I'm almost done, guys. We've got about 5 or 10 more minutes here, okay? We're going to read Psalms 23, but we're going to read it in two different verses. The first one here is the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there is a semicolon right there. English professors mean they tell you have to pause when that happens, okay? It says there's a new thought coming, okay? New thought coming. So the Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? He's a guider. He cares for you. He tends for you. Make sure you have everything that you possibly need and want. Guys, let me lay on you a little secret. Sheep? Anybody ever mess with sheep? Okay, this is the mentality of sheep. You can put a log, and the first sheep will run and jump over that log. You can move the log, and the rest of those sheep jump in the same spot. Sheep are followers. Sheep's brains, I'll let you fill in the blank. They need a shepherd. So the Lord says, we shall have a shepherd. New thought. I shall not want. We don't want, guys. You're God's favorite. Let's read why. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That sounds nice. He leads me beside still waters. Again, messing with sheep, they don't drink out of the river. I'm telling you, you go to a babbling brook, sheep will walk through it. They will not drink from it unless they are forced. They like it calm because sheep are a little bit skittish, and something in the water might get them. All right? He restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for whose name? His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to poke you with that. No, those are actually protective items. Your rod and your staff, those are actually protective, and they're comforting. They're comforting. Okay? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God's like, hey, battle's out there. I can just picture David standing next to Goliath, and he's going, God, I'm a little hungry. And God's like, great, I got a table for you right here. That table, like when you study that out, that table is filled, like I think of a Thanksgiving feast. God's table, regardless of the battle, you're going to eat good, and you're going to be well cared for. And you get to have peace in the midst of a battle. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The scriptures that Jim was reading for the offering, your cup runs over. Why does your cup run over? Because you can't help somebody with an empty cup. You're God's favorite. You can't help those with an empty cup. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, let's switch to the Passion. Okay, so like Jim said, the Amplified, he called it Mama's Version. A little more wordy, right? The Passion also has a few more words in here. The Passion says this so beautifully. So David's poetic praise to God the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. He is the best friend and shepherd. Case is one of my best friends. Pastor Monty is one of my best friends. They are the closest people to me, but they're still not God. God, I get good counsel from my friends, but then I take that to the Lord and I go, you know what? All right, Lord, let's hash this out. What are we going to do? This is the situation we're doing, and God is always with me, all right? I always have more than enough. Why is that important? Are we greedy? Do we need more than enough? Yes, you need more than enough. Why? Because when your cup's running over, your excess gets on other people. Your excess gets on other people. I'll never forget when my kids was little. Haley Jo was pouring milk in the bowl. I don't know, she was 3 or 4 years old. And she was trying to be helpful, right? And she filled the bowl full to overflowing. And it got on everything. Papers and table. We were cleaning that up. You had to wipe it up and you're pulling it all back in. And she didn't know anything. But it got on stuff. Your excess gets on people. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to the oasis of peace and a quiet brook of bliss. There, when he restores and revives my life, he opens before me pathways to God's pleasure that leads me along his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. So God has already got the path before you. Again, he's guiding that shepherd with his stick. He's like, all right, let's go this way. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Oh, and all of a sudden your cup starts filling up and you're going, glory to God. And then your cup gets a little fuller and he's still leading you. For his name's sake, our cup gets full and starts running over. And then he's like, that's for me. He is so delighted when his kids give him praise. I love it when Haley Jo comes in and goes, Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you. That makes me feel good, right? How much more when we sing praise to God, he loves it, guys. He loves it. All right. Lord, even when your path takes me through the deepest, darkest, fear will never conquer me. For you already have. Fear can't conquer you. The valley of the shadow of death, right? God has already conquered you, so there is no fear in God. You're God's favorite. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Okay, remember what we said? The authority for the word favor. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for you are near. Remember what Kay said? Banging that head on that wall. God's like, hey, I'm right here. Let me get you cleaned up. All right, here's the path. The Bible says that's a light to my feet. He's going to guide us. You're God's favorite. All right, here we go. You become a delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You ever had that? Maybe at your job. And let's not call them enemies, but let's say that there's that person at your job. Or maybe at school, kids. And they're like, they're just poking you. And they want to fight. And you could tell, you know, they want a fight. Well, that's where God goes, you know what? I'm your feast. Feast on me. Feast on me. Regardless of the battle, feast on me. God loves it. God loves it. You anoint me with fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink, and my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? How many of us fear the future? That's all of us. That's all of us. But you're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I will return and I'm going to live with you forever. I'm going to live with you forever. Earth is awesome. This is a good place to call home, all right? We got our problems on earth. We got our pains and our aches and those things. Heaven is going to be wonderful. Heaven is awesome. Heaven is where God is, and we get to live with him forever. Forever, okay? So here's what David is saying. No matter what our circumstance is, no matter what we find ourselves in, you are God's favorite. We can read that 4 or 5 or 6 more times, okay? You are God's favorite. I'm going to read this sentence because Camille and I were talking about this throughout the week. God is a delicious feast in times of uncertainty or impending battle. So I showed you that picture of ice cream. That's one of my favorite desserts. I love chocolate ice cream. And then you top it with chocolate syrup. All right? Thanksgiving is coming up. Who loves pumpkin spice lattes? We pumpkin spice everything, right? Who likes pumpkin pie? Yeah. Who likes cherry pie? Who likes steak? I love a good 2-inch thick steak, boy. It's just tasty. That delicious meal. Think of that delicious meal. You can taste it right now. Y'all are getting hungry now. I can see it. Okay? That's what God is. But you don't have to cook it. You don't have to prepare it. He prepares himself for you. That's awesome. All right? All right. What's cool about that is Jesus says he is the bread of life. Jesus says, eat of me and drink of me, and you will never thirst again. How about that? How many of y'all drink water and get thirsty again? It's hot. We had some young kids that are running cross country, and in cross country, they run like 5 miles. I drive 5 miles. There is no running for me for 5 miles. Unless something is chasing me, y'all better get faster than me is what I have to say. You see me running? Run also. What is that? I saw a t-shirt about that. It says, I'm a bomb technician. If you see me running, keep up. Yeah. If you see me running, keep up. But they get thirsty. Those cross-country kids get thirsty. Volleyball, football kids, I watch them. They go and they hose their face off. They're thirsty. But Jesus says, I am the true, I am life. Drink of me. Drink of me, and you will never thirst again. That's the story when he's sitting at the well. The lady's drawing water out of there. And Jesus says, drink of me, and you will never thirst again. To me, that is amazing, because he's already prepared himself for us. And all we have to do is go, okay, I don't want to be thirsty anymore. And Jesus says, I love you. I love you. You can go ahead. In closing, guys, I'm going to tell you that you are God's favorite.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.